Hey, all you cats and kittens, Adam Ray here, back for another episode of the About Last Night podcast. Subscribe, click on there to get all the video gunk and junk, and don't cancel me, and just get everything that you need for the podcast right here on the About Last Night YouTube page. Spotify, iTunes, you can also check it out there if you just want your ears to get blasted with silly. Today's episode's a banger. He's got a new special out. He's a great comic. A great dude. He's a pioneer in the podcasting game, some would say. You know him from his show Marin, from all sorts of movies like To Leslie, Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates. He was a voice in Bad Guys, the animated film. And his new special, From Bleak to Dark on HBO, is coming out February 11th. So it's out. So go watch it. What are you doing here? Well, actually, I know what you're doing here. Watch this and then go watch the special. When you finish watching Mark Maron's special, comment below. Tell us how much you loved it. I think the trailer did it a great service. Mark's standing up a lot, which we talk about in this episode. We talk about a lot of stuff. It's a blast. Again, check out the special From Bleak to Dark right now on HBO. Mark Maron. And listen to his podcast, WTF. My episode was a lot of fun. Came out a few months ago. Hopefully he'll have me back. We'll see. I don't want to fucking hold my breath. Come see me on the road. I'm in Batavia this weekend at the Comedy Vault. Just a little bit north of Chicago, so come out, see your boy, February 15th, 16th through the 18th at the Comedy Vault in Batavia, Illinois. And then March 1st through the 4th, Punchline, San Francisco, come out and see me, favorite club on the planet. March 1st through the 4th, Punchline, San Francisco. March 9th through the 11th, Levity Live here in Oxnard, California. And then Fort Worth. Portland, Seattle with the Impractical Jokers, San Diego, Dallas, Palm Beach, Phoenix. It's a lot's coming. Madison, Wisconsin, coming back to Comedy on State end August. All that ticket info at AdamRayComedy.com. Young Rock every Friday on NBC. Welcome to Chippendales on Hulu. And of course, subscribe to the podcast at ALN on TikTok, Instagram, and Twitter. Here on YouTube, you know what to do. A lot of great episodes coming up. Can't wait for you guys to see. So, with all the tour, date info, and all the other bullshit out of the way, sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with Mark Maron.
Am I a night owl? What do you mean? Do I stay up all night?
Yeah, I guess that's how it
is. No. I stay up late sometimes.
Yeah.
But I'm not out in the world. Oh, you're not. I'm just sitting around.
No, I don't think anyone thinks you're going from club to elsewhere.
Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe there was a time.
There was a time.
But I mean,
probably not too long ago.
Well, it wasn't any exciting elsewhere. I go to a restaurant. Hey, not
depending on where the restaurant is.
Not like it's been a long time since I was. Whose house are we going to, man? Hang out.
Wow, dude! Look how quickly you tap
Where's
back into that
party.
Guy.
I was never there.
you were never that guy.
No,
but you went. You were like, "Where is it?" And then you went.
Sometimes,
yeah,
depends what was going on there. You know what I mean? I'm not just and who was there. I guess it's something.
Who's there is a big deal.
Sometimes, but like, when was that? When did that happen? When did I have friends? I don't know.
I mean, you know, I don't know. I'd venture to say that is, you do bring up a good point. How many friends, if push came to shove, could you count on your hand and go, these, and then I guess how do you equate them to be friends? Everyone's got like the.
You know that David Attell used to have a joke. A good friend is a guy that will help you move a couch. A best friend is a guy who will help you move a body.
Yeah, that's so good. That's a great joke because.
Because all his jokes are great jokes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is he one of your guys, like faves? Who does Mark Maron like? If you had to drive from L.A. to Laughlin, Nevada, I don't know why you'd be doing that.
Yeah.
Unless you were trying to go visit where my dad used to live.
Yeah.
Would you put on, and you had to put on a comedy, because I used to do this, by the way, and I used to listen to your stuff, CDs.
Mm.
When I was a year before I started stand-up in 2006, I'd drive to see my dad. I'd go to Amoeba Records on Sunset.
Yep.
I'd grab a Mark Maron, a Patton Oswalt, a Jerry Seinfeld, a Brian Regan, a David Cross, a Greg Giraldo. That's a nice variety, isn't it?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't know. The last comedy records I listened to were like in the car were Robert Schimmel.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was pretty satisfying. Robert Schimmel's very satisfying.
Laugh out loud for you?
I mean, you know, how many times can you laugh at a comedy CD? Yeah, it's more like, oh, here comes that part I like.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, we came up together. But the thing about Dave is that I don't see him that much. But he's always Dave, but he's always going to have new shit. Like, he's always going to surprise you. He's just, one of the best joke writers that ever lived. So, and they're usually pretty gritty and interesting.
Yeah.
And he'll turn them over. So it's always fun to see him. There's nobody really, you know, funnier than Dave.
I agree. I see a guy that you'll definitely pop into the OR if he's there. You'll stick around.
Of course, but he's never out here. You know, I always like seeing him. He texts me every once in a while, just weird texts.
Like what?
Just like sort of, do you know anything about, do you do a bit about jerking off on the Bible? I'm like, no. I'm just checking.
Didn't want to step on any toes.
Exactly.
Do you get inspired by guys like that? I guess I'm just curious, you know, a myriad of things as we're sitting down here. And thanks for making time. What like inspires you? A guy that's so accomplished, right? And I was telling you this in the main room the other night, how great it is to, for guys like me, right? I'm 16 years in. I'm 40.
Well, Jesus Christ.
You're what? You're 42?
Long time, right?
Yeah. What are you?
43.
You got the energy of a, of a 42-year-old.
I feel old, but, you know, 43 is not bad.
I'm looking good. You're smelling good. You came in here with a musk. I don't know if it was like
patchouli,
cool water.
Patchouli. I wear patchouli. I've worn it for a long time.
You have?
A long time.
You do strike me as a guy that's like, I got one cologne and one cigar.
It's not even a cologne. It's some oil. And it's a patchouli oil. It's old hippie shit. But I dated this woman who was a welder and kind of half a witch, and she was a patchouli person.
Are most witches patchouli people?
I don't know. It depends if they're hippie witches or just witchy witches. I think witchy witches get a little more complicated. She wasn't really a hippie witch. She was just she's an artist. She was intense. She's in Seattle.
That's the opening to the rom-com, and you're narrating it.
Sure.
Has anyone ever told you?
She's working at a strip club.
The plot thickens. Jesus Christ.
She wasn't a stripper, though. She was a bartender at a strip club, and she said, I quit because I got tired of men looking at me like I was food.
Yeah?
That's good.
That's good. That's real. Yeah. That's raw.
It's good.
Hippie witch or witchy witch?
Kind of witchy witch. But she just turned me on to patchouli, and I've worn it for forever. Get it at one place, and I've gotten it there for decades.
Can I guess?
Sure.
Target.
I don't use Target patchouli. They probably have it somewhere.
Come on, man. I got a special coming out. You think I'm using Target patchouli?
Yeah. No, it's a place called Life on Lower Haight in San Francisco.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Hippie Witch or Witchy Witch is a show I would watch six episodes of if you hosted it.
Yeah.
Roku's looking for content.
Sure. Roku, they're back?
They're back.
Is National Lampoon coming back to this building?
When I said that, did you know exactly what I meant?
Yeah, but that was just years after the fact.
Yes.
You know, it wasn't the real National Lampoon building. Right. It was after the brand got bought by some idiots and they tanked it. Right?
Well, yeah. Totally. No, when I came in here to meet, I think I just signed like a content deal. They were trying to use the name and start getting back into the... You know, it's almost like...
To what?
Just YouTube was popping off, and they were like, we need to follow suit and start creating content.
Sure.
So they were going to pay me like $5,000 a month to do videos, because I was already doing them on my own.
Yeah.
And then I get an email, hey, man, the guy who signed that deal for you just got busted for embezzlement, so we're going to hold off on any new deals. Yeah, yeah.
What was that other one that was around for a while? Something Deluxe?
Super Deluxe.
A lot of people had a lot of content that just doesn't exist in the world anymore.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
You've been doing the podcast now, WTF.
Yeah, was I in the middle of answering a question?
I think we moved on, but we'll get
back.
Did we? Mo? Oh, patchouli oil, hippie witch, witchy witch, Seattle.
I smelled good, but you come in here.
No, I did go.
People who inspire me.
Thank you. I guess at this point, my point was, when you're as consistent as you are and you're doing it and you're in it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's one thing, and I'll just, you know, personally speaking, for being a fan and then getting to know you and feeling like, you know, I don't have to, you know, have my head down if I see in the hallway because I feel like, hey, there's a 97% chance Mark's going to look me in the eyes tonight. I love getting there, by the way. I think a lot of people do.
Yeah.
And you know that, and I think it feels good for you.
Yeah, Eric Griffin never lets me forget it.
Well, that's Eric Griffin.
Yeah.
How you know, grudges and griffins.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, take your pick.
Well, I did ice him all the time. I just
of course.
I didn't register him as like
as an ice.
As a comic or something.
Hilarious.
It was just, he was
most
just
people still don't.
I know. I didn't. Yeah, I knew
we'll
he was
right
on
back.
A show. You know, that I never watched.
Yeah.
And he was around. And I would literally just, he was completely correct.
Isn't that enough, though?
What?
You clock somebody, you go, hey, you're a, like, do we have to get to know everybody's ins and outs on Wikipedia page? Like,
well,
you
I
go,
mean,
I know you're a guy, you're here, you must be.
But you can be polite. I mean, I'm generally, I am not.
It. Yeah.
I'm not icing people because I'm being condescending. I'm just, like, thinking about myself or other
fine.
Things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But some people, it's sort of like, some people I have to have boundaries with. You know?
Sure.
Like, I have to be like, no.
Before they
talk
even
to the hand that I'm making up.
So who
can you feel the hand?
Yeah. So who in stand-up, I guess,
yeah.
And we don't have to take it all the way back to Little Marin watching The Tube. Like, I guess now, at days, what do you see or hear that makes you go? Because I feel like we all still, especially oh. Living in L.A., you feed off the beast and the machine of the energy of the city. I feel like I do. I feel like you do,
really?
Too. Otherwise,
there's a pulse to this city that's
1,000%.
Tangible?
Dude, go to any Jamba Juice. There's somebody working there who's like,
is that
I
where
just,
I got to feel the pulse I of L.A. Just, at a Jamba Juice?
I just auditioned for CSI Miami, yeah. And I got a second call. Dude, I'm telling you, everyone's one thing
everyone's
away out here.
Yeah, just on fire there at the Jamba Juice or the Starbucks where they have their own table and they get mad if they can't sit there with the computer for 9 hours.
What if you found out Raiders of the Lost Ark was written in a coffee bean?
Yeah.
Would it change your mind about how things get done
here?
No,
all writers are writers.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand, but there is an energy, but I wouldn't say for me it's sort of like, I'm fucking riding that L.A. juice. It's more sort of like, ugh, I gotta go to the West Side on Friday?
Fair enough.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Is there any way I can get out of it? I've turned down meetings for things.
Wow.
Because they are on the West Side.
It's a trek. The power of no, though, that's real.
That's definitely real.
Have you gotten... Whitney used to preach to me about that, about saying no, and I was just like, all right, you just created
did not engage it for this show. I went ahead and said yes to this one.
It's going to be great. We'll get you out of here. We'll get you out of here in five minutes.
I'm not in a hurry. I'm going to have to go stand over there in the parking lot.
Your spot's at what time? 9:30?
Yeah.
Perfect. All right, let me just talk about that real quick.
Inspiration. So you asked me if there's anybody I watch.
Yeah, or
now.
Like just what inspires Mark Maron on a, doesn't have to be daily basis. Like what, where do you find it, I guess? And or does it hit you unexpectedly?
Yeah. I don't know. It usually comes through conversation or, I don't know. Like today, I was doing an interview with some guy for, I guess he was from, he was from Variety.
Cool.
Some sort of interview around the special. And he's talking about the special, and he's asking me about some of the stuff about not having kids. He said, I don't have kids, you know, and I kind of like, I thought it was, you know, interesting that you were talking about not having kids and how you feel about that. And I was like, well, you know, to be honest with you, I'm just honest with myself. I said, you know, I'm selfish and I'm neurotic, and that takes a lot of time. And you need to make time for that. So
for your neuroses, you do.
But that, I'd never really thought of it that way. So that kind of came up in conversation. And, you know, I think that could be a bit, I already kind of, you know, the idea of, you know, like I'm self, I already say it in different ways, but it's pretty specific.
Yeah.
I'm selfish and I'm neurotic, and that takes a lot of time. You got to make time for that. There's not a lot of time for other things.
It's very true.
It is. But I like that kind of shit. But in terms of other inspiration, I don't know. I'm always kind of engaging with news and with ideas.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think about the jokes I'm kind of working on now. I mean, things that happened to me. But I realize in watching my last couple of specials that my life is relatively small. So thematically, I talk about the same things.
Mm.
It's just an ongoing conversation.
Do you think most comics do?
I don't know. Like, it depends if they're talking about themselves or not. I mean, you know, if you're talking about yourself, I mean, most comics, if they really talked about themselves for most of their career, they'd be like, I woke up at 11:30, had coffee, and I wrote some things down. And then I took a nap, and I ate some shit I shouldn't have eaten, and now I'm here.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you're not too far off.
How many years do we just spend wandering around with notebooks and other idiots going, what do you think of this? What do you think of this one? Is this anything?
Do you do that? Do you have comrades that you like to riff bits with? No.
No, I mean, sometimes my friend Sam, Lipsight, when we talk, I talk to this guy almost every night. He's my best friend. He's in New York. He's a novelist.
It's awesome.
And like throughout, when my girlfriend passed away, you know, he was sort of there for me, but then it just kept going. Like we just talk almost every night.
Wow.
And ultimately led to me and him. We created a show that we sold to FX. They didn't make it, but like sometimes with him, I'll ask him to.
Wow.
You know, they hear it out. What do you think of this?
Yeah. Had you planned on kind of having a friendship blossom with him? Was there a little bit of it like?
Oh, no, I knew him for years. You know, and he was always a pretty good friend.
Yeah.
But it just became a thing. Like, you know, that he was checking in with me.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, he's a professor at Columbia, writing professor.
Jesus.
In New York. And, you know, he's got a wife and two kids and stuff. So, I mean, it was good for me to hear about his life and then, you know, just to talk. And I respect, he's a very funny writer. He just wrote a new book. It's tremendous.
Well,
so funny.
You just wrote a new special, From Bleak to Dark.
Yeah.
When this comes out,
wrote it. It took a long time.
No, you improvised it on the spot, which is phenomenal. Not a lot
that
of
that was the writing process. That is it.
Yeah.
Putting it together just by repetition.
Do you go up with bullet points?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no, I have lots of paper.
And you've got things like, you're like, I'm saying this bit tonight, word perfect, or is it all kind
things
of
a become one? Word perfect around, you know, how you're going to get the laugh. You kind of have to figure that out.
Yeah.
If you want to get the laugh consistently. So, I mean, give or take, you know, word perfect.
Sure.
But yeah, eventually some stuff gets pretty word perfect because there's timing required. So you got to hone it down.
The trailer you graciously showed me in the main room, green room.
That's crazy. It's good, right?
Man, it's so good. And honestly, like you just talk about getting inspired. You know, I'm trying to I've put a few things up on YouTube, but I'm trying to really like, I've got an hour right now that's really personal and I really love.
Yeah.
And I've been doing it for about a year and a half and I keep adding to it, but it just got me. And I've been going back and forth with like, do I try to get some people out from a reputable place to watch it live, or do I tape it myself and try to, you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of, but it's case by case. It's where you
at. My fear with that has always been, you know, if I can at my point in my career and knowing, you know, just how, you know, what the nature or the how many of my, you know, my audience.
Yeah.
Like, will I take the money if it's offered to me?
Yeah.
Versus like, no, I'm just going to throw it up on YouTube. Because the idea of me putting something up there on my own and then really no one coming is just too much for me to reckon with.
Yeah.
So it's just sort of like, give me the money and don't tell me how many people watch it.
Yeah, there's comfort in that.
Yeah, I mean, not everybody can do it, obviously. And I don't know how long I can continue doing it. But I will never just self-produce and put it up or try to pay. I'm curious about this thing where you do a live show for a global Zoom audience. And you get the door with that guy. You know that guy?
No.
Yeah.
Who's doing that?
You know, I don't know, Glebe and...
Oh, Steve Hostetter, yeah.
No, yeah.
Yeah, I think
thing.
That, yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I don't know, Tony Robbins, I heard, made a killing off of Zoom during COVID, which makes me think...
Well, a lot of people
Tony Robbins started.
And it's like,
COVID.
It's not even... it's funny because I don't really even need the money. I didn't do any Zoom comedy.
You didn't?
No, and I didn't do any outdoor shows. You, know,
you didn't? I was bummed to not see you out there.
Fuck that.
You don't want to do the Magic Castle parking lot?
Oh, come on, dude. I mean, I did my time doing shit gigs. I don't care if people need it and they're going to sit in the drive-in and honk their horn instead of laugh. I don't have
they
to
had
fucking
clappers
do
at time.
I don't have to do it. I didn't do that shit.
There are outdoor shows in your neighborhood, too.
No, yeah, nothing.
No
fuck
part
it.
Of it.
No, because, like, why? What do I got to put myself through that? Is that going to make me feel better during COVID?
It did for me.
Ugh. oddly... I didn't miss stand up at all. Like during COVID, I'm like, maybe I'm better. Maybe I'm all better. I'm good. I don't need to do it anymore.
Did you feel better?
Sure, not having it like compelled. But then I realized the only reason I felt that way is because nobody could really do it.
Yes.
As soon as people started doing it, I'm like, fuck, here we go.
Oh, so you hated that.
What?
People doing like a show in a truck or Magic Castle
parking
lot. No,
I didn't give a shit about that.
Gotcha.
But when people start working like humans.
Yes.
Yeah, not just like, you know, fucking.
So you enjoyed the break.
I did, I think. Yeah. Aside from my girlfriend dying. Sure.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, I enjoyed the break. It's okay. But
that was during COVID.
It was, yeah. Right at the beginning, 3 months in.
I did want to just, and this is what I wanted to say. When you showed me the trailer,
yeah,
which is brilliant, and the special, this will be out when the special's out. Brilliant.
Mm.
You, there were so many things that stood out, but one thing.
One joke.
Right.
That's what you remember.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because first of all, I commented on you not sitting on the stool like you so classically do.
Yeah, I had to work.
We
I
said
was moving around.
I said it was moving, Mark, and I'm here for it.
Yeah.
The energy was just different. It looked incredible. You wrote the music for the trailer,
yeah,
which
for
the, yeah, for people the, know you're a musician, but yeah. Goddamn, dude, it was so fucking good.
It hit, right?
Mark, it really, it made me go, oh shit, dude, I hope there's a whole just after special, like
with the song?
You greeting fans or some bullshit B-roll.
I had no time.
Yeah.
But oh, but
we got your neuroses to deal with, yeah.
Oh no, it's just like they wanted an hour, you know, and they, you know, they trying to get down to an hour, is, you know, that because they believe that no one can watch anything for more than a minute, and
well, even
so,
you just finishing that sentence, I already tuned out.
Exactly, so like, I could tell. You know, I was talking to nobody; it's just going into nothing. The empty vessel over there in a hat, but
you sound like Mitzi. That's what she said when she watched my showcase.
Empty
Why vessel. You wear a hat?
Yeah, yeah.
I go, I can take it off. She goes, I don't care. And I walked away, and Tommy goes, all right, thanks, Mitzi.
Yeah.
But and I got to see. But
Tommy's
I got to
like,
talk to her.
No hat, right?
No hat, right? That's what I've been telling you. You actually never mentioned that. Well, you weren't listening. You got up to your these late OR spots without the hat.
Oh God.
But
no.
So.
Oh, so there's no time. Like literally, the special start. I'm on stage within seconds. There's no fucking bullshit sketch.
Yeah.
It's just I do a joke, then the credit comes up, and then we're back in it, and then at the end, it's over, and you hear more of the song.
Yeah.
And we do a little picture of me and Lynn, and in memory of kind of thing, but yeah, that joke that I pointed out to you is, it only happened that night.
You told
maybe
me that
like twice.
I can't believe that.
I can't either.
I mean, people can say what it is, right? It's in the trailer,
right? Yeah, but it's just like it was one of these moments that like doing the jokes about or the bits or the chunk or whatever you want to call it about grief and about her passing was hard to balance, you know, to make it funny and to sort of do it. And for some reason, that line that night, it kind of gave it a little more. Like it's hard to believe I never did it because it's a nice transition into that piece of material. Because before it was just sort of like, all right, so now I don't know how I'm going to do this, but I'm going to talk about this and I make jokes about not knowing how to do it. But for some reason, that joke, like you know, a lot of you know that during COVID. My girlfriend Lynn Shelton passed away. It was is really the worst day of my life, and I'm sure for her too.
Bro, that the misdirect on that and the fucking delivery and like dude, it just and then you looked at me, you were like, oh, too much. I was like, no, dude, that's very powerful.
It's so funny. It's such a Jew delivery too.
Yeah.
It's so like
Jew delivery.
So
like
fucking
you're playing
like,
Coachella.
Yeah, kaboom, kaboom.
Yeah,
bing bow.
Yeah, but like. I don't know, man. It's the perfect blend of hit 'em and hug 'em, where it's like
I think it was, you know, and it's like it goes in when it hits you. It seems a little insensitive, but
totally.
The logic is correct.
Yes. Is it tough? What did it take a certain amount of time? And you know, it stopped me if you're just like I don't want to talk too much about it, but I'm curious if you know how much time needs to pass before. You feel comfortable even bringing material about her to the stage.
Well, the benefit of COVID was I didn't have to. And that was probably another reason why I wasn't going to do parking lot shows.
Sure.
You know, I was processing this shit. So, like, it was a good year and a half before, you know, I was even you know in the position, kind of, to talk about it. But I was doing live Instagrams every day almost during COVID.
Those were great.
Right, but they were, like, sometimes an hour and a half long. And that was how I stayed engaged with the idea of an audience.
Cool.
It got me a lot of weird lady fans too, but I think it helped a lot of people. Helped me. That's how I dealt with, you know, engaging.
I was just going to say, for someone who has become a brilliant human connector, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you think about, you started the podcast in 2009. We're coming up on 2020. That's what, quick, simple
14?
Math. 14 years.
Something like that.
That's bonkers. Also, you being at the precipice of this avenue.
Yeah.
And the amount of shows you've done, the amount of talking you've just done in general in stand-up prior to your podcasting experience.
A lot of talking.
It would strike me that COVID to just, if you didn't do the Instagram lives, Mark Maron could not be without engaging.
Yeah, it was wild. Yeah, that was wild. Right. But the Instagram wise got a little, it got wild, dude. Because at some point, there's a core group of, you know, mostly, middle-aged ladies, I think.
Is that your fan base?
There's a lot of them.
Yeah.
But I don't know. My fan base is odd.
It's all over.
I always say it's not a demographic, it's a disposition.
You know? That's great.
Yeah. But but that was I'm gonna say, oh, you know, so there was all these people CNN when they were about to start that streaming service that was a failure. There was an executive over there.
Give it time.
A woman. It's gone. It tanked immediately.
Dude, nothing's gone in this town, baby.
Yeah, no, but someone, they pitched it to CNN. Like, someone in CNN said, we want you to do that on our streaming service. Basically just what you're doing, and we'll give you a lot of money. And I knew that it was a bad idea. Yeah. And I knew that eventually what would happen with it. And I sort of had it in my head that there were segments I was doing in a way. It was basically a morning show.
Yeah.
Where I'd sit out on my porch and we'd talk to the cats and we'd play some music and we'd, you know.
You had segments.
Yeah. But I knew that if I did do a deal with them, that it wouldn't work. You know, it would not, it wasn't an anchor for that network.
Right.
That eventually they would want me to have guests. They'd want me to figure out how to do this or that. And I just, it was a lot of money. And I was like, no.
Oh, wow.
No.
Is that tough?
No.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to be beholden to do a daily show at my house that I was already getting tired of because they have a big idea. And then that the tanked immediately, CNN streaming.
Can you imagine?
Immediately. And then I would have been stuck with them. That thing tanked in days. And then I would have been under contract at CNN with them trying to figure out what to do with me.
Oh, wow.
At this point in my life, I'm going to sell out to CNN?
Yeah. Fuck. Yeah.
I didn't need it.
Yeah, can you imagine if you had somehow like sent a Hail Mary text to Obama, being like, "Dude, I really need you, Barack. Like CNN, like I need you to come through. Just talk to me while I play guitar. Don't even look at me.
I just didn't want to be beholden to anybody."
Mo just brought up earlier, and I don't know how often that comes across your mind. I don't know how often you're even like reminiscing about like memories and great times. You know, like great gigs, great restaurant hangs. Pods. There's obviously, right? Yeah. There's got to be episodes where you're like, holy shit, I can't A, believe that happened, but B, you think about it days after. Like, even listening to how you finally got Michael Keaton, I believe it's that, right? That one took a minute to.
Was that
the timing? I think the timing was off the schedule. And then one day,
he just called me. It's like, can I
come today?
Today.
And
tonight.
You figured it out.
Yeah.
And that, to me,
came at night.
Made the episode even better. And it was already an incredible episode.
It was already, those were always wild. Those nighttime visits at the old house. Because of that neighborhood and the garage, the nature of the garage.
Isn't that crazy, by the way? How many people do you think just peered through their window that night and were like, is that fucking Batman?
Well, no. Well, they see people on the street. My neighbor would always see people getting out of their car and be like, what's that? I'm like, yeah. But no, Batman, he was stealth. No one saw Batman.
No one saw him.
No.
So people would see, so people have seen, there's got to be some people that now know that probably.
Well, Obama, they had to clear the neighborhood of cars. So
there were
people that were like, you know, a little upset, or then some were excited.
Yeah. Some were upset because
like they had to, you know, drive.
It was not their president.
Park.
Oh, okay, yeah.
On the street.
That makes sense.
Maybe it wasn't their president, but I think it really just came down to like, what do we got to do?
Yeah.
What, I can't just go?
You're an inconvenience, exactly. Mr. President. Yeah. I used to get the same type of double takes at my old apartment on Laurel that you came to when your car got towed, and I was doing the pod.
Every time I drive down that street at Laurel, because I go down and every time I go to the store, I'm like, how did I park in front of a driveway?
I don't know. We were this close to taking you to home. It was like
I have no idea.
You parked in the little alleyway in between, or the entrance to a parking garage.
Yes, of the
it's
apartment.
Not a spot.
No.
But you committed like it was.
I know.
And you're fearless in that way, and I respect it.
I had no idea how that happened.
No clue. You're better than Sebastian parked his moped there once. It fell over, and his helmet was so big, and I go, who rides a moped to a podcast? And he goes, make fun of me again, and I'm going home. And he came back. We had a good time. But he...
Was he serious?
He said it with a big Sebastian smile.
Yeah.
So I don't think so.
Yeah.
But I think he was definitely perturbed at how tricky parking his moped was, because he had just gotten it, too.
How long ago was that?
6-7 years ago. But so Brad Williams, 4'4",
sure.
would come into the apartment complex 3-4 times a week.
Yeah.
And we're getting Mark Maron's coming through. You're getting Bob Saget's coming through. Sebastian's coming through. Nikki Glaser's coming through. There's comedy fans in the building. People are looking around.
Sure.
But 4 out of the 7 days a week, there's a dwarf coming through.
Yeah.
I mean, you could tell when people were like, I want to come outside because maybe I should make a wish. I just want to be around him. I mean,
it's always fun to be around the dwarf.
It is.
The hardest thing about being around the dwarves is just, you know, casually fist bumping them.
Yeah.
Or, you know, or just like.
You got to look. Yeah.
Yeah. Or not acting like they're not like down there.
Totally.
Yeah.
It took me a minute.
Sure.
I was squatting a lot when Brad and I first started hanging out.
You can't squat. Can't bend over.
You can't?
No.
I think it's case by case.
Is it?
I feel pretty comfy squatting in front of him. I pick him up all the time. He has no problem with it.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I've seen him have sex. Not on purpose. Stumbled upon it. House party. crazy. Standing up, doggy style. Come bonkers. On. Going you're, way too fast.
No.
It was like, it's not legal. You're going to burst the cookies. I have a whole joke about it. No. But yeah, it's. I'm not lying.
Okay.
Why would I lie about that? You sound like people when I told them I worked at Universal Studios, which we talked about on WTF.
No, that's not doesn't seem like a lie, but saying that, you know.
That I've seen a little person have
sex? Why wouldn't you make that up?
Why wouldn't I?
Because you're friends with them. You can make up anything. You could say you saw them fly. They can do that.
Hilarious. You're not wrong. They can't fly. They can't fly. You just have to. Yeah, they're like Care Bears.
They're magical.
In that way. They are magical. Why'd you call it From Bleak to Dark? Out right now, HBO. Oh,
it's out. Oh, well, it's something somebody said when Sam Lipside and I, my buddy Sam, who I talked to every night, the writer.
Yes.
We sold that show to FX, and we wrote a script, and they liked it, but they want us to write a second script. So we decided on a story, one pager for the second script, and we turned it into FX, and we had a notes meeting about the story. So we're all on Zoom, Nick Gratt at FX. Is that, like, I want to make sure. Like, yeah. Is that his name? Is it Grad or Graf? I think it's Grad, Nick Grad.
That sounds right.
So we're on the notes call.
Mo, do you want to look it up? Yeah, Mo's got it.
I got it. It's Nick Grad.
It is Nick Grad.
We're on the notes call with you know, my management, Sam.
Yeah.
You know, and the people from FX and Nick, and he's the head of development or the head of something over there. He's a good guy. But they're all there, and you know, and they're like, it's a notes call. And Nick goes, listen, guys, I love the story. It's great. It's a great story. And look, I have no specific notes. But is there any way we could get it from bleak to dark? And I'm like, yeah, that's what I do. That's our specialty.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And so that just...
stuck. It's great. It's a great story. It's funny.
How much of the title do you consider, I guess, in doing a special? Is that kind of like...
Yeah, I always fuck up the titles. It's always tricky.
Yeah.
Because so many people were just doing those. They were just kind of, you know, ripping off... I think it must have started with... probably Eddie Murphy, the one word titles.
Yeah.
You know, and there's no more of those, no more words.
You like those?
No.
No.
Not really.
From Bleak to Dark feels very fitting for you.
And it's engaging.
It's like, very what? Engaging. Yes. What is this about?
Yeah. And
it's like, almost like a title. Like, I feel like 10 years from now, you're going to have one that's you looking right in, pointing with the mic stand, going, I ain't going anywhere. Yeah, Mark Maron.
Oh, yeah. God. That's special. That's the one I'll do on YouTube.
Maybe Tubi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My last one was End Times Fun.
Yeah.
Which was, I thought that was good, but originally I wanted to call it Jeremiad. And Robbie Praw, who did not want to do this special at Netflix, said, no one's going to know what that is. And I'm like, I guess that's true. Like, if you just saw it, like a Jeremiad, a long, mournful complaint or lamentation, a list of woes.
Great. Would you put up the definition on the screen under the title?
No, but like he said, basically he was correct. Yeah. That if you saw that on the menu at Netflix, you'd be like, I don't know what that is.
Yeah, dude.
And look at the guy with the beard. What is that?
Well, yeah, what's the picture that accompanies that title?
From me sitting on a stool. So yeah. So I went with End Times Fun, which did pretty well because it was kind of prescient.
Yeah.
And then before that, I did one called More Later.
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah.
And then I did one called Thinky Pain.
That's one of my faves. And your Epics one. I don't know.
What was the one before? More Later, I think, was the Epics one. What was the one that I did with the other one I did with Lynn? Too Real.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was the two I did with Lynn were Too Real and End Times Fun. And then the Epics one, More Later, that was Bobcat. He directed that.
Crushed.
And then Lance Bangs did Thinky Pain.
Do you ever have to, go back and check out some of your specials to make sure you're
not... I don't do the jokes.
Yeah, or just repeating premises or themes or just know innately.
I usually know innately, but I do think there's a line in this new one that I feel like I've done somewhere before. Yeah, because you're talking like, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, Thinky Pain, More Later, Too Real, End Times Fun. That's four specials.
Yeah.
And probably 1, 2, 3, 4, 4 or 5 CDs, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's like 9 hours. So, yeah, I do know that thematically I talk about similar things. So, yeah, I am concerned about that. I don't think I repeated. Usually someone would tell me. But there's one line in this one that I've used somewhere before that came back around.
Great.
The one, I've been married twice, I have no kids. You got to be a special kind of asshole to have two wives and no kids. And then, like,
so funny.
And then my second wife, I think, put it like this. You think I'm bringing children into this? So...
Oh my God.
So that's in the new special, but it gets tagged in a better way. So it finally found its place.
I love that.
But I definitely did it somewhere else.
Isn't that what's kind of oddly beautiful about this art form? That, like, I don't know, whether you can pull a joke back from 8 years ago or a line or a thought, but just be in a different place to know where it's got to go or...
Well, the weird thing is like, because of the way I work, a lot of jokes finish themselves later. Like, there are jokes on the fucking special that are better now. Like, weeks later.
Yeah.
Like, they're just not...
That's always the case, right?
I guess. I mean, not if you're just a joke person, sure. And then the joke is just like a thing you crumple up and throw away.
Right.
But, like, if you're a guy who talks about things, you know, sometimes they finish themselves. I used to do Conan all the time, do panel.
Yeah.
With totally unfinished jokes. They were funny enough as premises.
Oh, yeah.
But then they would, you know, come into fruition later. It always happens. Like, there's definitely some stuff I did on the special that's... I fucked up a couple of things in my mind... That you won't notice, but there's definitely a place where I could have been a funnier joke, and it is now.
What did prompt the getting off the stool and moving around more?
I've definitely been an up and at 'em guy before. Yeah. I mean, if you look at my old shit,
yeah.
Like even my that 95 HBO half hour I did, I'm like all over the place. I'm sweating, but I always like sat down at some point. So, but I think what prompted it was, you know, with Too Real and End Times Fun, I definitely did a lot of stool time.
Yeah.
It was predominant. But this one, it was second show, and they were, and it was a big stage, and, you know, they were not, I had to work. So I got out there and worked. It wasn't like some big plan. All I knew is that I had to have a mark where the fucking mic stand went, and I wanted to mark where the stool was, if not, you know, nail it down. Because just for continuity reasons. Yeah. Because, like, if you start moving around, that's one of the reasons I think I sat down, other than I think it makes it more intimate.
1,000%.
But if you're moving around and you want to cut in between shows or cut out bits and you left the mic stand over there on one show and it's right in front of you the next show, it becomes a little tricky.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, I get aware of continuity for some reason.
You said Stool Time, also a great title. Stool Time to me, and hear me out, sounds like...
Hear Me Out's a good title.
Hear Me Out's a great
title. Someone had to have done that.
Somebody did. Can you look it up, Mo? Stool Time, if you're Tim Allen right now and you're listening, Stool Time is a book of Tim Allen jokes based on Tool Time from your show Home Improvement, but it's one of those on-the-toilet books called Stool Time, and it's literally just pages and pages of Tim Allen jokes he never used.
Uh-huh. Wow, that sounds like the worst book I've ever heard of.
Kevin Nealon, Hear Me Out.
Yeah. There you go.
Great. You're really good until Leslie.
Oh, thanks.
You've complimented me on my acting in the last couple of years. Yeah. I feel like it's only fair that I throw it back your way. But minor tidbit parts, yours are full on, like, you're carrying the movie.
That was a big part.
That was a big part. Yeah. And it was, you've been solid. Marin was so good. I don't know
it's
if
okay.
It was.
I watched some of it last night for the first time in a while. Like, I just was poking around on my Apple TV, and I had the last season of Marin, and I'm like, I couldn't watch it. But, you know, I took courage to do whatever the hell I did that last season, but I think I'm probably a little better of an actor now.
1,000%.
Yeah.
Do you feel like it was easier to be you in that show than it is to play a part like this into
Leslie?
No,
I don't think so. I think being me is, it's a little strange, you know, to be a heightened version of yourself. And I think that... You know, with Glow doing Sam Sylvia, you know, that was a little different than me. It was better. But Two Leslie is definitely not my nature in terms of, you know, it's in there, but it's not like who I am publicly, really. You know, it's a very quiet guy and not a neurotic guy and, you know, fairly, you know, kind of heavy-hearted dude who, you know, very codependent character. But yeah, I just showed up for it and did the work.
Did you read that and get it? I mean, I would assume you're not in a place, right, where you are like you and your team, you're being more active with like trying to find
that guy. He wouldn't leave me alone, the director.
Wow, that's even cooler.
No,
see, that's what I want, man. He came right after you. He's like, you got to do this guy.
Yeah, and I'm like, I'm not doing it.
Power no. You're like, where's the meeting? It's like the West Side. Like,
no, it's not even that. It was during COVID, and the guy was like out of nowhere. You know, they went, they talked to my people, and this guy was like, he really wants to do this. And I read it, and I'm like, this isn't me. You know, they must have had a first choice that isn't doing it. And like, I'm not like, I'm not Texan. You know, there's guys that can do this in their sleep. Why me? And they kept saying like, you know, he wants you to do it. I'm like, I don't believe it. And then I got a text from Chelsea Handler. And she's like, will you talk to Michael? He's a friend of mine. He's directing this movie. He really wants you to be in it. I'm like, you can't like say no to Chelsea Handler.
Can't. It's illegal.
It kind of is.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm like, all right, fine. You know, so the director gets on the phone. He's a British guy. And he's like, you know, I just, you know, I really want you to do this. I'm like, do you though? Because like, it just seems like there's a lot of guys that could do this. He's like, yeah, but I like you. I was a big fan of, you know, the last season of Marin. And I watched that movie you did with Lynn, the Sword of Trust movie. And I just really think you have the emotional component that I want for this. And I'm like, oh, so he does kind of want me. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know about the accent though. He's like, don't worry about the accent. I just, you know, I want you to be in the movie. I'm like, all right, well, okay.
Yeah.
But then, like, it became this thing because it was peak COVID, and then I was sort of like, I got to go out there in the world. But there was an argument at the time that somebody said to me, I don't remember who told me it. He said, it's probably safer than going to the supermarket because you're going to be tested every 2 days.
Yeah.
Everybody on set's going to be wearing masks.
They're going to wash the groceries for you.
Well, it just was like, you know, kind of, it was heavy.
More contained.
But yeah, so, you know, I met with a... Because I thought, like, well, if I'm going to challenge myself as an actor and I'm really going to take this risk, you know, I better try the accent. So I met with a dialect coach.
Yeah, I was going to ask.
Yeah, we decided.
You did it. It was good.
I did it. It was all right. You know, I thought, like, you know, it's a very subtle thing. It's a Lubbock accent.
Yeah.
And, you know, I got the phonetics of it right, and I made choices around it. And I think I did pretty good with it.
Hey, guys, Adam Ray here. Hope you're enjoying this special episode of the About Last Night podcast. Checking in with you because it's a new year. You've got new goals, and Factor is here to help you achieve each and every one of them. I know you're like me. You want to save time. You want to make sure you have all the right energy to tackle the day-to-day and hit everything on your to-do list. And when you do that, you need energy. You need to be locked in, dialed in, and prepped for the day. So hit up Factors because they've got ready-to-eat meals delivered straight to your door. When you get Factor, you not only skip the trip to the grocery store, which is exhausting and, you know, great people watching, but there's some freaks out there lately that make you question your decisions and where you shop. So skip all that BS. Skip the chopping, the prepping, and the cleaning up too, because Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are ready to go in just 2 minutes. So all you got to do is heat up and enjoy. Truly, whatever lifestyle you're living, Factor has the meals to help you live it to the fullest with keto, calorie smart, vegan, plus veggie, and protein plus meals on the menu each week. All these meals are prepared by chefs and approved by dietitians, and they all have the ingredients that you need to feel satisfied all day long. With 34 chef-prepared, dietitian-approved weekly options, there's always something new to try, which is awesome because you get to mix it up. Nobody likes the same old food day after day. Plus, you can round out your meal and replenish your snack supply with an assortment of 36-plus quick bites, smoothies, juices, and more satisfying add-ons. Looking to cut back on takeout? Well, Factor's the move, man. We started getting down with them a few months ago, and it's been not only the cheapest, most affordable route as far as trying to get food going, but it's better than takeout, and the meals are quicker than restaurant delivery. They're ready for you in 2 minutes. So get Factor right now and enjoy clean eating without the hassle. Achieve and maintain your goals this year with Factor. Get America's number one ready-to-eat meal kit and start saving time, eating well, and living your best in 2023. I know this sounds too good to be true, but it's not. So head over right now to factormeals.com/about60 and use promo code about60 to get 60% off your first box. That's incredible. Nobody else offers that. That's promo code about60 at factormeals.com/about60. Promo code about60 to get 60% off your first box. Do it. Love it. Live it. Let's get back to the episode.
You have, and I don't know how you all are taking compliments. I think you're pretty good. You have a... Robin Williams was like my guy.
Yeah.
Like that's, I think, what got me, obviously, Jim Carrey, Eddie, Farley, Belushi, as far as like people that made me really fall in love with comedy. But the career that I was like, oh, I want to do that. This guy's doing silly shit, and he's so, you have a similar stillness and warmth to your eyes for sure.
Yeah.
But just when you're on screen, you pop in a way that can be... powerful is not the right word, but just you can take over the lens.
Yeah.
But then you can there's a softness to you.
Yeah.
That that I saw in this that I feel like I haven't maybe seen you get the opportunity to
Yeah. Lay I right? appreciate that. Yeah, yeah. No, and I think I've heard that from other people. I don't.
I read it off JambaJuice.com. They,
thanks a lot.
As a team, went and saw it.
Are you Zooming right now with a couple of people at Jamba Juice?
I don't
listening?
Know. You could tell. Yeah, yeah for yeah, sure. Yeah. Caleb, Jared. it's always Caleb and Jared. It's always high school kids that don't have any passions or goals.
Someone like favorited a tweet that I did like in 2015. Isn't that always weird when all of a sudden, like out of nowhere, someone favorites a tweet
yeah.
from 2015
you
or
get 16? Scared.
But it was really fun. I have no recollection of almost any of them.
Oh.
And this one was, there are no non-Jews named Ira.
Still holds up.
Totally.
Doesn't that feel good? Anytime anything from 2015 is still relevant.
Well, I mean, obviously people are looking for stuff and they haven't found anything bad, so that's good.
That's awesome. If that's what's coming back to life.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think where I was at. I mean, I was still pretty heavy-hearted and, you know, and sad. And, you know, doing the work, he shot it on film in 19
great.
Days.
19 days?
So there was no time for fucking around. And I was working with a woman who's like a, you know,
she's a
heavy hitter.
Yeah.
She got nominated for Best Actress.
Duh. I'll just say, welcome back to No Shit.
But it took, like, it's controversial.
That, I know.
It's so sad that, like, this amazing thing happens to her and it's toxic because the Academy are a bunch of pussies. But,
yeah, like, so they invite, like, I think
yeah,
I
so
read.
They, so someone legitimately got it because of support from her community and it's a big issue.
Because it wasn't, like, they screened it, like, at right? Is that the whole issue?
It's no,
like,
the issue was it came out of nowhere. The real issue is that they didn't see it coming.
And they didn't and get that, to pick it or what?
No, it was just all these larger companies that put millions of dollars into these campaigns,
yeah.
into screenings, into mailings. You know, they got blindsided by a really just a bunch of actors saying this is an amazing thing and rallying the acting community within the Academy.
So that's
to
what
vote.
Happened.
Yeah.
I think I did. So a lot of heavy hitter actresses, right, were really coming to her aid.
Yeah,
kind of leading the charge.
Well, not just supporting the movie publicly
that's
on
awesome,
the public
dude.
Media platform.
How good did that make
Ed
you
Norton
feel?
Too?
Awesome.
All these people. Well, it, certainly for me, it just means like I didn't know. You do those movies? You're like, is anyone going to see this ever?
Totally.
And now a lot of people are seeing it. I'm getting emails forwarded to me from like Martin Brest.
Get the fuck.
The director. Yeah. Directors, and who else? I got one today from Phil Kaufman, who's one of the great directors.
Yes.
But, like, just like you did great work, and like, you know, and Chris Cooper, the actor, he reached out. Like it's being seen by, you know, peers, and I'm sort of like, I thank God that, you know, I feel okay about it.
You should.
Yeah, because, like, you know,
Adam Ray to the list of people who are
well,
throwing.
Thank you very much. But like I mean it's horrible when you don't believe people. You know, like because you don't see it. But like I don't think I could have done better work. I could have made some different choices when I watch
sure.
it. And like I probably you know, but there's a learning curve with film acting and with acting in general. You know? But I feel like I did okay and like I'm not ashamed of it.
You shouldn't like, be. You like, should be very proud of it, and I think you are.
Isn't that weird? It's like it's there's no in between
no.
being ashamed of something
yeah.
and being okay with something.
Totally.
There's no.
That's those are the ups and downs that we are attracted to.
Do you do a joke about that kind of? No. Who am I thinking of?
I love that you're thinking that you know any of my material. First
yeah.
of all, let's just clip this.
It's. I just hear. I hear a loud Jew cadence. Say, and then some voices. And then,
probably me. That's by the weird. Way, loud Jew cadence. If that's not your next special,
that's your special.
Thank you, baby. Oh my! You hear that, Eric Griffin? This will be pissing you off that Mark is talking to me like a comedian. You, real quick. We got about 5-6 minutes left. The scene of you at the carnival.
Yeah.
Right towards
yeah.
middle end of the
yeah.
film. Just a great. Scene you were just with your kids and
with the grandkids
yes
yeah.
and in watching it I was like man I wonder there's probably no like you didn't go to Dave and Buster's I'm assuming but I just in seeing you there and it was just a great scene but then my mind wandered to was Marc Maron ever a carnival guy so now I'm just pull the curtain back I'm just like were you ever a guy that was like Yeah, let's go shoot the fucking water in the clown's mouth. Let's go to Disneyland and go to you know, Western Town. What shoot the fucking get a funnel cake.
I used to go to the State Fair.
There you go.
In Albuquerque.
Gotcha.
The Midway at the State Fair.
Cool.
And that was sort of like a rundown carnival.
Yeah.
My second wife was a roller coaster person. So, you know, I would
That's exactly how you're supposed to talk about them, by the way. I got a buddy who's obsessed, goes to the roller coaster person.
And I didn't mean emotionally. I mean, like, she liked roller coaster. You know, I would say in the relationship, emotionally, I was the roller coaster person. So it makes sense that she liked roller coasters because she was on one for 7 years.
But you know, you didn't dig them? Like, you're not a fan of the...
Well, no, I just never sought them out. Yeah, it never made sense to me. But, but like, you know, once if you're with somebody that likes them, you're like, all right, let's do it. And you're like, you know, you get it.
I like the carnival rides that are like, I don't know, not...
to feel sick.
No. Also, I know accidents can happen at Disneyland and any of these big theme parks where hopefully the harnesses and seatbelts have been...
But the weird thing is like, you get on these things, and I don't know if it was different in another time, but it's over in 40 seconds. You're like, you wait online. It's like, it's pretty amazing. Yeah. But you're like, it's like, oh, shit. Everybody out. You know, like.
And you're not better for it.
Yeah, it's like, what happened? Is that it?
What happened? Is a lot of the sentiment when you get off a coaster. Yeah.
But we went to Coney Island and rode that Cyclone, which has like been there forever.
Yeah.
And that hurts. Like, that's one where you're like, I don't think this is safe. Because it isn't. You can kind of feel the rails on it.
Yeah.
But it's been there forever, but you literally are sore after it because it's shitty. It's a shitty old roller coaster.
You threw a punch in the movie, too.
I did. Did it look all right? Someone criticized me.
I wrote this down
said
because
I didn't look like I
threw. Who criticized you?
They just said
Steven Seagal?
I think my form might not have been good, but what do I know?
It looked good.
Good. I thought it looked good.
And then he tackled you to the ground, and you guys, I thought there was going to be a few more punches on, but there was a little bit of wrestling. And
I thought like that, you know, the way that played out was exactly how like a real fight with me would play out. Do you know what I mean? You throw one punch and then just like, you know, like, we're not going to have a film fight here. This is like, we're on the ground.
Yeah.
And somebody stops it.
Yeah. Great.
That's all you can hope for.
Isn't that what you want in any fight?
Sure.
A little bit of action.
Get one punch in and then someone steps in.
Someone pulls you apart. That's ideal. All right. We're going to close this out with a...
Oh, is there a game?
No.
Okay.
I do give off 90s Nickelodeon game show energy. I'm not mad at it.
What's the stupid thing you've come up with to end your podcast with?
These are 10 lines you've said in a movie. I'm here with Mark Maron, and Mark, you're going to have to guess. These lines are said by you or someone you acted alongside in the movie Bad Guys. No, this is the Inside the Actor Studio 10 questionnaire.
Okay.
James Lipton, RIP. You no doubt would have been on the show now with your prestigious acting career.
The thing is funny.
You would have been great on that show.
You talk about me like the career you want to have or like, you know, these comics who do all this stuff. It's like I'm having one of those careers basically under the radar. Do you know, like, it's
yes
like.
Yes and no.
I guess. But like, you know, on some level, you know, I'm not hanging, like, I'm not in big movies. Yeah, I'm not like an arena act. So I'm having exactly the career that we all want.
Yeah.
It's just like it's only for a few people.
Well, let me ask you this. Because I would love to be where you're at, right?
Yeah.
I feel like this has been the best acting couple years of my career.
Yeah.
Stand-up numbers are steadily growing.
Good.
But I would love to be I can't wait to be doing theaters and be in movies like you're in with that movie really just popped for me, too, because I was like, oh, man, I would love to sink my teeth into a fuller role like this.
Right. Yeah, me too. I want to do more of that. And it's fortunate for me that I'm finally old enough to not be cast as anything other than the cranky guy.
Great.
No.
A lot of room for that.
Maybe. But this guy wasn't cranky.
No, he wasn't. A lot of layers to him.
Yeah.
But real quick.
I didn't prepare the answers.
No, real quick. Where you're at,
though.
You really
doing it?
No, not yet. Real quick, where you're at, though, are you, you're like, I'm under the radar, and I said, you know, yes and no. Is that where, at this stage, are you like, fuck, man, I'm still not there? Or are you like chilling right now?
I'm learning how to chill.
Good.
Because being there is just not my life. It's never been my destiny.
Right.
You know, this is not what I designed my life for.
Right.
You know, I didn't get into this to make money or to get love. Mm. I got into it because I had no choice for some reason. I thought it was the best way for me to engage in the world.
Yes.
But, you know, I'm grateful that for whatever reason, I'm, you know, after, you know, in my 40s, you know, I was able to sort of make a living, you know, that I make a comfortable living and that I, you know, I've saved some money. And like, I'm a weirdo, you know, because like, even with the money I have saved and money I earn, like, I'm one of these people where I tell my management, you know, sort of, can just, I mean, I want to keep my SAG insurance. So totally. Can we get me?
Yeah. That's a big deal.
But it is, but like, I can afford insurance.
Yeah.
Right. But it's sort of this weird thing. It's sort of like, just, I don't know, give me like a little voiceover, something to, you know.
Cool. And then they do.
I mean,
there's going to be opportunities, mark my words, coming from to Leslie. You're already getting, you know, emails from, you know, directors.
It's great. But yeah, I mean, I like acting, but I don't love the process of film acting. Great. A lot of time in the trailer.
A lot of time in a trailer.
You know, you go out and, you know, you do two lines.
Oh, yeah.
90 times. And then you're like, all right, we got to set up the next shot. And then like 10 hours later, you're like, what could be happening? Yeah. It's been 10 hours.
Now, on the flip side.
Why are you shooting them out?
I know. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know. And your gripe is valid.
But it shouldn't be. Because actors are sort of like, shut up. We're getting away with murder.
Totally.
But like when you're a comic, you're like, but we could be doing other things.
1,000%. Yeah.
All right. Anyway, so that's a pitch for anybody, for all you directors and writers that want to have me in your movie.
By the way, you got real boisterous. The Jew cadence was sounding like a bit of mine.
I know.
Like you were starting to get to my Adam Ray
level. Very difficult in the trailer. But I don't say it to anybody. I get out of my trailer. I'm like, I'm great. Everything's good. In the trailer, I'm like, what the fuck? Could be happening.
What's in a Marc Maron writer? Like
on the road?
Trail mix?
Sad. Yeah. Just cashews, raw cashews.
Love cashews.
And ginger ale Zevia soda.
Cool.
Zevia soda.
Together? Like you wash the cashews down with
ginger ale?
Well, no,
I just have them back. I like to have the ginger ale. I like to have a few cashews. I just don't like to waste food. And every time, if you ask for hummus and vegetables, you don't know what you're going to get in any given place.
You're not going to eat the whole tray either.
Well, yeah, but it's just like, could be gross.
It's not
fresh. I've been to places, I used to have hummus on there. It's just sort of like, you know, Julie made this. And I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. So...
You're like at Ralph's? No. Julie, who works here?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, she used to work here. It's a long story. Yeah, you don't have to go on now, do you? All right, Mark.
That kind of stuff.
Here we go. Going to get to know Marc Maron a little bit more. God bless you. From Bleak to Dark, the special. Incredible.
HBO.
You're a real treat. HBO.
Not fucking Netflix, which is the new slogan for Netflix.
and WTF the podcast, of course. All right, here we go.
Yeah.
I'm James Lipton. Welcome back. Yeah. I'm here with Marc Maron. Mark, what is your favorite word? No right or wrong answer. No right or wrong answer. Would I take your time? Send me an email too if it's too big of a fucking pop quiz.
Come on. It's two words.
Come on?
Yeah.
I love it. What is your least favorite word?
Fat.
What turns you on?
Almost anything given the day.
What a great answer. And I don't even need a follow up.
Yeah.
I'm gonna let my mind go go crazy. Yeah. What turns you off?
Fat.
With a PH.
No. What turns me off?
Yeah.
I'm just because I know you know what it's like to have food issues.
Yes.
What turns me off is
by the way, he wasn't taking a dig at me. On WTF, my episode, we talked about being fat kid and food
and
whatever. Just,
I'm not trying to be insensitive.
I want to give context because the way you said that was definitely like, you know, you got fucking food. Like,
I can see the way
that shirt's falling.
No, yeah. I'm not trying to be insensitive. Yeah. It's really a deep core issue.
Yeah.
What turns me off, I think, generally speaking, is people fucking with me.
Yeah. When... Like, obviously, too, right?
Where or just sort of like, you know, or placating me or condescending me.
Yep.
Like, there's a big umbrella of being fucked with.
Yeah, that's a good one. Okay. What is your favorite curse word?
You can't use it anymore, but, you know, cunt is pretty great.
I still drop a cunt from time to
time. Yeah, me too. I'll throw a cunt out there.
Just talking about it today, my wife, I even said twat is one of my favorite words.
Twat I never used. I think
we'll edit this out.
Really?
No, we'll keep it in.
Cunt is like that's percussive.
Dom Herrera has a real the way he says it, like it makes you feel like everything's
pussy.
Right,
I used a lot.
Yeah,
but both those words are really not. They're not great words. These women are not
fans.
Know, not fans.
Good
of
reason.
Cunt or pussy.
Yeah,
but I think you can masculinize cunt, but it still means cunt or pussy.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I do.
They're not great.
They're not great. But they're great words.
I say it at home.
To your cats.
Sure.
Yeah.
Or just nobody.
Do you talk to your cat? After a nice bowl of Captain Crunch, just drop a C-bomb.
Oh, you cunt.
Yeah.
I do, like, when I'm, my producer's got just hours of me when I fuck up copy, where I'm just sort of like, Squarespace, if you want to, fucking cunt balls, cunt.
Now, do you ever think if they left it in, what, Squarespace? Maybe this is like the edge up they were looking for as a company.
Well, I mean, for years I
Squarespace,
I made up,
don't be a fucking cunt. Sign up now.
My first sponsor was a coffee company out of Madison.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they were just sort of like, you know, they barely paid us. I did it for coffee. But I came up with this tagline where I'd take a sip of it and I'd go, pow, I just shit my pants.
Awesome.
And they didn't love it, but it made their business.
It did. That became synonymous with WTF.
It did for a while.
Good for you, dude.
Yeah.
Coming up with catchphrases left and right. What sound or noise do you love?
What sound or noise do I love?
Yes.
Oh, leaf blower.
Dear God. I was about to never air this episode. Fuck. But also, the way you said it, dude, again, that gentleness in the pupils, I think he reckoned, I don't know, man, his neighborhood's pretty quiet, but maybe he likes a little bit of distraction.
What sound do I love?
Yeah, or noise.
You know, it's like a pretty good sound is something sizzling in a pan.
1,000%. Yeah, dude. That's
yeah.
Great answer.
Yeah.
What sound or noise do you hate?
Leaf blower.
Yeah, there it is. I knew we'd get back to it. What profession other than your own, Mark, would you like to attempt?
Baker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause the hours.
Yeah, I just want to get up early and knead dough. No, just like, isn't it fun to make cakes and pies?
I wouldn't know.
And a scone?
It probably is.
I've done it.
You have?
Yeah. I'd like to do it as a job rather than try it at my house where I got to eat the whole fucking thing by myself.
Yeah.
Or give it away.
You're a big dessert guy too, yeah?
Yeah, big food guy. Yeah. I've been not eating meat lately. It's kind of rough.
So if you go to a restaurant, is dessert always happening? I got a buddy like that where he's, No,
you know, if it is, it's like a struggle.
Yeah.
You know, like, and then it's a lot of fucks during the eating of it. Yeah. It's a lot of, oh, fuck.
What profession would you not like to do?
Anything where you have to either fire people or ask them for money.
If heaven exists, Mark, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
What would I like to do? That's a good question, isn't it?
Yeah, it's fucking straight from Lipton's mouth.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's so
it's how he closed it out, you know? Al Pacino, what would you like to hear? And you know, I don't remember what Al said, but I think it was something to the extent of just, you know, you did a great job!
Yeah, yeah.
I
think I'd like him to say, like, while you're up here, you don't have to hang out with everybody you know.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Dude, oh, that's... Dude, that's great. That's great. Thoughtful, funny. That's what we were looking for.
Mm.
You're a beast.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks for making time.
Yeah.
Can't wait to rewatch the special. Guys, go see Mark on tour.
Oh, I'm not on tour.
Great. Go...
wait it out. Just watch the special.
Watch the special, enjoy it.
Yeah, I'll figure out it. Give me some time to get some shit together. Yeah, that was an hour. And there's a half hour, but I can't tour with a half hour. Give me a little time.
If you're in LA, go see him at the store.
There you
And To Leslie is one of many films that you should just type in Mark Maron on your Apple TV, and a lot of fun stuff's coming up.
Yeah, two or three things.
Appreciate you, bud.
Thank you. Thank you too.
History has got some pretty big mysteries. What happened to the Russian hikers who disappeared under mysterious circumstances at Dyalov Pass? The colonists who seemingly just vanished from Roanoke Islands? And what really happened to the Flannan Island lighthouse keepers? I'm Simon Whistler, and on my podcast, Decoding the Unknown, we try and decode the mysteries, what they really are, throwing out aliens and ghosts as an answer, and trying to find out the real history behind the mystery. Listen to Decoding the Unknown on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.